are going to see chapter number 2. We had already seen in the last chapter number 1, that was pertaining to definition, that income of the previous year earned by the person shall be chargeable in the assessment year to the tax. So, if the income is earned on 1/4/2010 to 31/3/2011, this is called as previous year. And this income, say rupees 10 lakhs, is earned. Now, this income, the tax on this income, the tax on this income shall be charged from the subsequent to this period, that is from 1/4/2011 to 31/3/2012. This period is called as assessment year. What is assessment year? It is assessment year. We can say that it is a tax year, the period in which the taxes are paid in respect of the income earned in the prior year is called as previous year. So, assessment year is nothing but the period, the subsequent period in which taxes are paid in respect of the income earned in the prior year. Now, this next year, that is 1/4/2011 to 31/3/2012, shall the person not continue to earn the income? The answer is yes. In this period also, he will continue to earn the income. So, this will again be called as a previous year in respect of this period. That means every subsequent year is assessment year as well as the previous year in itself. Every subsequent year is an assessment year as well as the previous year in itself, because the income of the previous year is earned in the, is taxed in the assessment year, and that assessment period itself again, once again becomes the previous year. Now, this is a previous year as well as the assessment year. This is the assessment year for this prior period and the previous year in itself. What shall be the assessment year for this period? The assessment year for this period will be 1/4/2012 to 31/3/2013 will be the assessment year for this period. Which period? Prior period. Which is the prior period? 1/4/2011 to 31/3/2012 is the prior period. So, every subsequent year is also a previous year in itself, and as well as the assessment year of the prior year. That's why these are two definitions which are very, very important to you. Having understood this, we have to understand in chapter number 2 the most important point, that is residential status. Residential status. Now, what is the meaning of residential status? Residential status means what? Status means what? Status means what is the position. And residential means what is the position of that person in respect of his physical stay. So, if the income tax totally depends on the residential status of a person, let us understand. So, residential status means what is the position of that person in respect of his stay in India. If the stay is there in India for a stipulated period, then that person shall be called as, what do you call it, resident of India. And once he is a resident of India, his tax liability will be determined accordingly. So, let us understand what is residential status in respect of an individual person. Again, I am telling you, this is very, very important concept. What is the status? What is the physical stay? For how many days this person was in India? And the tax liability is always determined on the basis of his residential status. Now let us understand. Suppose an individual is there. Now there is a particular section called Section 6, Subsection 1 of the Income Tax Act. Section 6, Subsection 1 says that if a person has been in India for 182 days or more in the previous year. If a person has been physically in India for a period of 182 days or more in the previous year, or he was in India for 365 days out of 4 preceding previous years and was in India in that previous year for 60 days. Again, I'll tell you, this is very important. The entire tax liability of the person is dependent on the residential status of the person. Residential status means as to what is the position of that person in respect of his stay in India. The total tax liability is dependent on that. Now there is a particular section called Section 6, Subsection 1, which talks about that if that person is an individual and he stay in India, he stays in India for a period of 182 days or more in the previous year, or he was in India for 365 days out of 4 preceding previous years, and was also in India in that previous year under consideration for 60 days, then that person shall be treated as resident. Now, let us take an example in respect of the residential status. So, what I told you, residential status is very important to determine the tax liability of the individual. There are two conditions. First condition is that the person must be in India for a period of 182 days. Let us take an example. For this period, 1/4/2011 to 31st March 2012, what is this period? This period is a previous year. Why it is a previous year? Because during this period, I have to earn the income. Now, whether or during this period, what is my residential status? What is the status? What is the position in respect of my physical stay in India? Let us understand. Now, suppose I go out of India, say I go to USA on 1st of December 2011. I go out of India on 1st of December 2011. I am out of India. Now, I am in India from 1/4/2011 to, what do you call it? I am in India from 1/4/2011 to 30th November 2011, my dear friends. I am in India during this period. I am in India from 1/4/2011 to 30th 11 2011, and I went out of India during this previous year I went out to USA from 1-12-2011 through 31-3-2012. I was in USA during this period. Considering the section 6, subsection 1, which says that if a person is in India for a period of 182 days or more, then he will be treated as resident. Again, if a person has been in India for a period of 182 days or more, when? In this previous year, under consideration. So, in this previous year, please tell me whether the person was in India for a period of 182 days or more or less than 182 days. Now, here, if we consider, he was out of India for 4 months. But he was in India from 1st April to 30th November. So, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. He was in India for almost, what do you call it, 240 days in India around. Now, is he a resident? Yes, this person shall be treated as a resident in India because this person stayed in this previous year for more than 182 days in India. This is the first condition. Second condition, or if it now, if or second, what is the second condition? The second condition is that suppose, what is the second condition? He was in India, or he was in India for a period of 60 days in this previous year. He was in India, he was physically present in India for a period of 60 days in this previous year and was in India for 365 days out of 4 preceding previous years. Let us take another example. Suppose Mr. X was in India from 1st Jan 2012 to 31-3-2012. Now, 1st Jan 2012 to 31-3-2012, he was in India for 60 days and more because it is almost 90 days. Now, he is of course more than 60 days in India. Now, and he was outside India from 1-4-2011 to 31-12-2011, he was out of India. Now please see it again. Here is Mr. X, who is an individual. This is the previous year. What is the previous year? 1-4-2011 to 31-3-2012. What was the first condition of residence? First condition was that he has to be in India for a period of 182 days in that previous year. Now, or second condition is that he has to be, if first condition is not complied with, then what is the second option? The second option is that he has to be in India for 60 days, at least for 60 days in this previous year. Now, considering this example, he was in India, Mr. X was in India from 1st Jan 2012 to 31-3-2012, which is 90 days. So, he was of course more than 60 days in India. Even he is in India for 60 days, it will be okay. So, he was in India for 60 days or more, even he was out of India for the remaining period, then and 365 days preceding 4 years. What is the attached condition? Now see here, he was in India for 365 days for the 4 preceding previous years. Now what are the preceding previous years? The preceding previous years prior to this will be, what do you call it, 1-4-2010 to 31-3-2011, 1-4-2009 to 31-3-2010, 1-4-2008 to 31-3-2009, and 1-4-2007 to 31-3-2008. These are the four preceding previous years from this period. That means 1-4-2010 to 31-3-2000 year is the first previous year prior to this year, before this year. Second is this, third is this, fourth is this. Now suppose during this period, this person was in India for, say, 200 days in this period. In 1408-09, he was in India for 100 days. He was in India for 150 days. He was in India for 65 days. Now the aggregate of this period is 300, 450, 500, 515 days. Again, I'll tell you. What is the second condition? The second condition is linked to first condition. First condition is that this person must be in India at least for 182 days in the previous year under consideration. But suppose this person is not in a position to stay in this in India for a period of 182 days in this previous year, but he stays for at least 60 days in this previous year, and he also stays in India for the preceding 4 years, 4 previous years prior to this year. Now please understand, year under consideration is 1-4-2011 to 31-3-2012. He was in India for 90 days almost in this previous year, because he was out of India from 1-4-2011 to 31-12-2011. He came back in India on 1-1-2011 to 31-3-2012. That means he was more than 60 days in India in this previous year. Not only it is important, not only this is okay, but over and above, he has to be in India for 4 preceding prior previous years. That is 0-10-0, 10-11, 9-10, 8-9, 7-8. These are the previous years. In these previous years, he has to be in India. In these 4 previous years, he has to be in India for a period of at least 365 days. Now please tell me whether this person is a resident or not. The answer is yes, he is a resident. Why? Because he was more than 60 days in India in this previous year, over and above. Plus, he was also in India for a period of 515 days, which is certainly more than 365 days. That's why we can say that by virtue of section 6, subsection 1, this gentleman is a resident in India. So, again, I'll give you an example of residential status in the case of a person. Let us take an example. This is the previous year, 1-4-2011 to 31-3-2012 is the previous year. Now, Mr. A is a person who goes out of India on 1st of September 2011. He goes out of India. So, in this problem, the person Mr. A, during the previous year 1-4-2011 to 31-3-2012, was in India from 1st April 2011 to 31st August 2011. Now, how many days he was in India? Let us calculate. In the month of April, he was there in India for 30 days during this previous year. May 31, June 30, July 31, August 31. That means he was in India for a period of 153 days. Now, can we say that this person is a resident under this condition? The answer is no, because he has to be in India for at least 182 days. So he is a non-resident by virtue of the first condition. Let us understand what is the second condition. Or even this condition is not fulfilled, he has another condition that he was in India, he has to be in India for a period of 60 days at least in this previous year. Now tell me, was he in India for more than 60 days and 60 days? Yes, in this previous year by virtue of, now I am on second condition. He was in India for a period of 60 days or more, as well as he has never been out of India in the prior years. So he was in India for 1-4-2010 to 31-3-2011, 1-4-2009 to 31-3-2010, 1-4-2008 to 31-3-2009, 1-4-2007 to 31-3-2008. These are the four prior years prior to this year. So this is the first year, this is the second year, this is the third year, this is the fourth year. Now he has never been out of India. That means he was in India for more than 365 days out of the four preceding previous years. In this case, this person shall be treated as resident of India. Again, second condition, he was in India for 153 days, as well as he was, which is more than 60 days by virtue of second condition, as well as he was in India for four prior years. He was in India for 365 days or more. That's why he is a resident of India. Once he is a resident of India, now what happens? Let us understand. There's another condition which says resident is there. Very good. Now another condition is there. He has to be resident, whether this person is a resident and ordinarily resident, or resident and not ordinarily resident. Now he has become a resident because he was in India by virtue of section 6 subsection 1 as per the conditions. Now resident and ordinarily resident. Now what is the condition for resident and ordinarily resident? The condition is that he has to be in India for a period of 2 years. He has to be resident in India for a period of 2 years out of 10 previous years. And he has to be in India for a period of 730 days out of 7 preceding previous years. Again, residential condition we have seen, this is not enough. Whether the person is ordinarily resident or not ordinarily resident, this condition we will see after studying the residential status, which we have already done it. Now the second step is whether this person is a resident and ordinarily resident or not ordinarily resident. In the last example, this person was in India for a period of 153 days and out of India for the remaining period. This is resident. Now, I told you that he has never been out of India in the last so many years. He has never been out of India. Now, was he resident in India for at least 2 years out of 10 preceding years? Yes, because every year prior to this 2011-12, he was always in India for 365 days. So what is the condition of residential status? He has to be in India for 182 days at least, or 60 days and 365 days out of 4 preceding years. He was in India for 2 years at least out of 10 preceding previous years. And of course, he was there in India in 730 days in last 7 years. He is a resident and ordinarily resident. So resident and ordinarily resident means a resident person who was also a resident, who has also complied with the conditions. That is, he was also a resident for 2 out of 10 preceding previous years, and he was also in India for 730 days out of 7 preceding previous years. I told you, this gentleman has never been out of India. In this case, this gentleman shall be treated as a resident and ordinarily resident. But suppose any one of the conditions is not satisfied. Let us say that he was resident only for 1 year out of 10 years. That means he was resident for 1 year out, then he becomes a resident but not ordinarily resident. That's it, that's all. So this is how you have to understand the concept of resident, resident and ordinarily resident, and resident but not ordinary resident. Please understand one thing more. Why I am teaching you residential status? What is the importance? Because in case if the person is resident and ordinarily resident, if the person is resident plus ordinarily resident, if a person is resident and ordinarily resident, then his entire income shall be taxed in India. Suppose I am in India. I am a resident and ordinarily resident. And I go to Japan, I go to UK, I go to Singapore, I go to Bangkok, and I earn income. And I leave that income there only. In that case also, that income which has been earned out of India by a resident and ordinarily resident shall always be taxable in India. That is the concept of resident and ordinarily resident. What is the concept of resident but not ordinarily resident? In case of resident but not ordinarily resident, the income earned only in India shall be taxable in India. Now suppose I am a person who is a resident but not ordinarily resident. That means I was in India, I was complying with the first condition of resident, but I was not in India for more than 1 year as a resident. Then I become an ordinary, not ordinarily resident. And now if I go to America and earn 5 lakhs rupees, that income shall not be taxed in India because I am resident, of course, but not ordinarily resident. In case of resident and ordinarily resident, entire income from any part of the world shall be taxable in India. In case of a resident but not ordinarily resident, income earned in India shall be always taxable only in India. Income earned by a resident and not ordinarily resident outside India shall not be taxable in India. And second condition, if I have got a business in France and I am a resident and not ordinarily resident, but I am controlling that business of France from India, then also the profit of that France business shall be taxable in India, even I am a resident and not ordinarily resident, because the business is controlled from India. So let us understand what is the relevance of resident and ordinarily resident and not ordinarily resident. Resident is the first condition. After ascertaining the conditions of resident, you have to find out whether the person is ordinarily resident or not ordinarily resident. There are conditions for ordinarily resident. That is, he was in India, he has to be in India, he has to be resident in India for 2 out of 10 preceding previous years, as well as he has to be in India for 730 days out of 7 years. These both conditions must be satisfied, then only he will be given the badge of resident and ordinarily resident. Resident and ordinarily resident, entire income earned in the world shall be taxable in India. In case of a resident and not ordinarily resident, income earned in India plus income earned from the business outside India, but which are controlled from India, or profession outside India, which are controlled from India, shall be taxable in India. And the last point is non-resident. Resident and non-resident. What is non-resident? Non-resident is a person who does not comply with the conditions of resident. Now suppose Mr. X from USA comes in India for 20 days. Is he a resident? No, he is not a resident. Why? Because he was not in India for 182 days. Neither he was in India for 60 days in that previous year. Never he came in India for 365 days for preceding 4 years. He is a non-resident. He was in India only during the period only for 20 days. The income earned by him, he will be treated as non-resident. In case of a non-resident, income earned in India by that non-resident shall only be taxable in India. Rest of the income earned by that person shall never be taxed in India. So in case of a non-resident, income earned in India, non-resident in India, income shall be taxable. In case of a resident and ordinarily resident, entire income earned from the world shall be taxable. In case of a resident but not ordinarily resident, income earned in India or income earned outside India from the business or profession controlled from India shall be taxable. Otherwise, it shall not be taxable.